Let us pray for the reading of God's word. Powerful, awesome, life-giving is your word, O God. It is our daily sustenance. It is the way that we get wisdom, guidance. Your Spirit's voice comes through the word. Help us to never neglect it, nor take it for granted. And as we read it today, Father, may your Spirit abide in us and teach us all that you want us to learn from this passage today. And may the meditation of my heart and the words of my mouth be acceptable before you, O God. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. Glad to see so many here today. Welcome. I have a confession to make before I do this reading. I got the look here. I have an obsession, and my obsession is my yard and my landscaping and all that I try to do there, making new places, fixing up the old places. And then later I say, why did I do that? I just made more work for myself, and I'm getting tired of it. I'm sure you all have compassion as well. And so these words from Solomon hopefully will resonate with you as they have with me, especially the last verse. I don't know what the pastor's going to preach on today, but my study Bible says, regarding these passages, the pursuit of pleasure does not bring the fulfillment that human beings need. So, the scripture is from Ecclesiastes, chapter 2, verses 3 to 11. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during a few days of their lives. I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself and planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female servants and other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned more herds and flocks than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, and a harem as well, the delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward of all my toil. This is the last verse. Yet, when I surveyed all that my hands had done and all that I toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless, a chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Jim. I get invited to speak at a group of women once in a while, every 2 to 3 months in Holland, where I used to live, where I went to seminary. I still have a lot of good friends and connection, as you know. I go there many, many Fridays, which is my day off, to meet with my friends and see them. And I was invited to speak at this ladies' gathering this Saturday. And I shared a lot of the thoughts that I'm going to share with you today. What's interesting is that as I was preparing the notes for my teaching or preaching to them, it was a little bit different because I always have to have on my mind the audience. You know, that's really important. Who am I preaching to? And a lot of these ladies are around my age, you know, above 50. But this time, a lot of thoughts kept coming to me about what I was preaching for a younger generation, younger women. And I, you know, after getting them often, I just thought, okay, God, whatever, you know what you're doing. So a lot of older ladies there, but these thoughts are more for younger women. And so I included them. And when I got there, I saw that over half of the group were girls in their 18 to 25. Isn't God amazing? He always knows when we seek him, he knows, and he loves to speak to people when a person makes, preacher or teacher makes themselves available. That's why it's so important to ask God, what do you want for your people? And that's what I did as I bring this passage to you. Today's message is about meditating on how we're spending our days. The title is The Use of Our Time. And that happens every day. We make decisions about how we're going to use our time. Today's message is about paying attention to what really matters in life, keeping it in perspective. You see, the world's care will always compete with this concept of how we use our time. It will tell you other things. It will give you different strategies, and it will highlight different things. Spend your time making sure you're successful. Spend time doing this or that, amassing money, or having the greatest gardens, or having success, holding to a good reputation, whatever it may be. Everybody wants our time. Friends, family, kids, grandkids, neighbors, everybody wants our time. And everything that we do, all the plans that we have, they require our time. So check this out. Our worries demand our time, correct? Our concerns demand our time. We spend time worrying our concerns. We spend time consumed by worries, fears. Our fears require time, investing in them. Our doubts, they require time. We can spend our time, the time God has given us, preoccupied with our worries and concerns, or even our dreams, right? Sometimes our dreams can become obsessions, as Jim said. And an obsession is pretty close to an idol. And sometimes we can spend the time God has given us investing in these worries that the devil puts in our minds, in these concerns that we have. They may be valid concerns. So are we not to worry or be concerned about, you know, fixing the house and repairing whatever was there? Yeah, we're to pay attention to that, but we're not to be consumed by that. We can spend the time God has given us preoccupied with worries, concerns, dreams, obsessions. And all this, according to the writer, is meaningless. Meaningless. That's a pretty strong word, I think, if you really think about it. Don't call my project meaningless. Well, God does. God doesn't beat around the bush, does he? All these things, even the good ones, All these things that the writer describes, he describes them as a chasing after the wind. Now you picture that. You try chasing after the wind and see how ridiculous you look. That's how we look to God, chasing after these earthly things and earthly projects. That's how we look. So when you have a hard time detaching from something, you just picture yourself chasing after the wind. See if you can catch the wind. Listen to it again. And let it speak to your heart and mind. I tried cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. So wisdom had not left him completely. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days. That's how it is from a heavenly perspective. Not years, but days. During the few days of their lives, I undertook great projects. I built houses for myself. I planted vineyards. I made gardens and parks and planted all kinds of fruit trees in them. I made reservoirs to water those trees, groves of flourishing trees. I bought male and female slaves who had other slaves who were born in my house. I also owned herds and flocks more than anyone in Jerusalem before me. I amassed silver and gold for myself and the treasure of kings and provinces. I acquired male and female singers, entertainment, and a harem as well, more than the wife. He had many other women. The delights of a man's heart. I became greater by far than anyone in Jerusalem before me. In all this, my wisdom stayed with me. We know from the word, this is Solomon speaking, that he made a lot of mistakes. So not all of it stayed with him. He did not pay attention to all the wisdom of God. He's coming around, though. I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took great delight in all my labor. And this was the reward for my toil. And as Jim said, the last verse, yet, when I surveyed, when I thought about this, when I really looked back, is what he's saying, and all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything, not just some things, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. What? That's not what the world would say. They would say, this man is on top of the world. You want to be like him? That's not the way heaven sees it. How are you using your time? As I said to the women yesterday, it's not perfection of behavior that God is looking for. It's perfection of heart. The heart that says, I've made mistakes, but I want to change. I want to make the adjustments that I need to make. It's not the past that matters. It's the decisions that you make today, for today and for tomorrow. And yes, you won't get it perfect. You will fail. You will fall. But remember, I've said it over and over and over. God doesn't count how many times you fall down. He counts how many times you get up. That's what really matters to God. He knows that he can't expect perfection of behavior from us. Otherwise, why would he have sent Jesus? So it's not about guilt and shame and I blew it, I'm not doing this right. It's about what are you going to do with this information? That's what it's about. It's today that matters. Today is a new day. The change begins today. Every day we get a new chance as long as you're alive. So how are you using your time? How are you using your energy? How are you investing? What are you investing in? Are you investing in the kingdom of God? What are the values of the kingdom of God? You know that, God, people, family, serving, helping the poor, giving to the poor, serving, honoring father and mother. You know that. You know the wisdom of God given in the Ten Commandments and spread out throughout the Bible. How are you using your time? Are you spending your time worrying about your problems and making sure that you figure out a way to resolve it? Let me tell you, one of the greatest blessings that I see in Dale, who was here last week, so good to worship with him because we don't get to do that because I'm a pastor. We don't get to do that often. But one of the greatest assets, features that I see in him is that he doesn't worry. I don't understand because I struggle with worry. He does not worry. He trusts God blindly. Are you spending your time worrying about your problems and trying to figure out how to resolve them? Or are you trusting God and waiting for guidance? And the problem is that if we choose or not fight or not ask God for help to not worry about our problems, that's where our time and energy is going to go into, and God is going to get nothing. You see the result? God is going to get our leftovers of our, all the time we spend on worrying and figuring it out on our own, and then God gets what? The crumbs of our energy and our worry after we spend all that time. Are you spending your time hoarding money? Be careful. Be careful. The root of all evils is not money, it's the love of money. That's what the Bible says. Not the root of some evils, the root of all evils. And the Bible does not exaggerate. That is the root of all evils, the love of money. Are you spending your time trying to control the outcome of your problems? Well, you're not God. And only God can really help you control the outcome. So the time should be spent in asking God to intervene and trusting him. Even when you don't see results, trusting him. Are you spending your energies in trying to make more money and more money so that you can leave a legacy to your children, or you can leave a legacy to your life? How many people make sure that their name is engraved in that building that they gave money for? Is that something that consumes you? Are you spending your time in eternal things or trivial and earthly things? I get it. We're on this earth. We have to live. We have to go get groceries. We can't just pray for God to put it on the table like George Mueller used to do. Maybe if we keep praying and getting close to God, we'll get to that point. But what percentage of our time is spent in trivial earthly things, and what percentage of our time is spent pursuing God and trying to get to know him better? Where's your best energy going to? Verse 3 reminds us of what this man saw, and he shares it with us, what he did. I tried, he says, cheering myself with wine and embracing folly, my mind still guiding me with wisdom. I wanted to see what was good for people to do under the heavens during the few days of their lives. Let me ask you two more questions according to the wisdom of this verse. First question. Is there a possibility that you are trying to cheer yourself with things of this world to find happiness and contentment? Is that a possibility that you're doing the same thing? What you're doing, what that thing that is consuming your energy, is that the thing that you're doing to try to cheer yourself, to find happiness and contentment? And if so, what is that thing? We need to identify it. What are those things that we may be running to get that contentment, that peace of mind that only comes from God, that only God gives? What are those things? What is that thing? Which could very well be an idol. Number two, what would you say is the best thing for people to do during the few days of your life? What would you say is the best thing for you to do? So it's kind of like a question of two sides. What are the things you're doing to calm yourself down, to bring that temporary peace? And then the other one is, what is the one thing you should be doing instead of that? That's what you need to do. See, again, it's not about the mistakes of the past. That's behind. You can't go back. Stop living in the past. It's about today. What decision are we going to make today? Isn't that good news? Today is a new day. You don't have to carry the baggage, the trash from the past. You're clean. You can begin today. You can do that. If you come to the conclusion of what are these things that are consuming my life and what are the things that I would like to have consume my life, and if you make the change, good things will come your way. The Bible tells us that where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. This often makes me cry, because our treasure many times is not where God is. And we just don't think much of it. We just think it's normal. It's not. Where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Pay attention to that. Where is your treasure? What do you value the most? If it's not God, let it change today. If it's not the things of God, let it make the change today. No excuses. Switch. Change. Even an old dog can learn new tricks. We can change. Isn't he worth it? Where our treasure is, that's where our heart is. What things do you treasure the most? Those are the things that are going to consume your time. And that's where your heart is at. Plain and simple. It's very convicting. Some of the girls that I was sharing some of these thoughts with yesterday morning were crying. Listen up. God wants your heart, all of it. Not just part of it, all of it. We can live without any of those things we treasure. We really can. But we cannot live without God. And although those things that we treasure, they're going to stay here. They won't fit in your casket. They're staying. And whatever you invested in, the kingdom of God and people, loving people, giving to people, growing in your faith, knowing God, that's going with you. So how much are you leaving here and how much are you taking with you? That's what you need to be meditating about until the day you die. We can live without any of those things we treasure on earth, but we cannot live without God. How much do you love God? This is the question that God asks you on a regular basis, every day. And the way you answer this question will impact the way you live. Let me end with this, and then we'll pray. Let me end with a passage from Psalm 90. Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the whole world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You turned people back to dust, saying, "Return to dust, you mortals." 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that has just gone by, or like a watch in the night. Yet you sweep people away in the sleep of death. They are like the new grass of the morning. In the morning, it springs up new, but by evening, it is dried and withered. We are consumed by your anger and terrified by your indignation, because God is a fair and just God. You've set our iniquities before you, our secret sins in the light of your presence. All our days pass away under your wrath. We finish our years with a moan. Our days may come to 70 or 80. If our strength endures, yet the best of them are but trouble and sorrow, for they quickly pass and we fly away. Remember that song? Fly away. If only we knew the power of your anger. Your wrath is as great as the fear that is due to you. Then listen to this, the ending. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. That's what I have prayed all my life. That's what we need to be praying all of our lives. Teach me, O God, to number my days, that I may gain a heart of wisdom. Let's pray. Lord, you have been our dwelling place. Lord, you gave us 100% of yourself. Let us not cheapen you and your sacrifice by thinking that it's okay to give you 70 or 80 or even 99%. for you gave us 100%. We want to give you 100% of ourselves as well. Every day, in all that we do. Father, be with us for the days or weeks or years that we have left. Teach us, O God, to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. These things we pray in the precious name of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.